go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running. I think the gremlins have been banished, and it appears that we are streaming on both streams and recording and doing everything that everything is supposed to do. So I won't move a muscle. I'll stand here. I'll keep one arm in the air and my tongue just like that, and maybe we won't have any problems this evening. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. It's where we host every evening the merry, wacky, zany, multimedia, real-time extravaganza that is the chat that takes place when this program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time or 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. Yeah. If you go over and jump in, pick out a screen name and a password right now, you'll be met by and greeted and welcomed by Anatole and Jimmy and Roger and Squeaky. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although a third stage guild navigator, has once again not folded space because, well, it's like, I guess, lava or something like that in Northern California. It's hot. You'll also be moderated by only somewhat scorched pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan, who had his own wrestling match with the latest Windows update. It's a darn good time all the way around. So hop on by if you'd like. Let's see. And no subscribers for the 30th day. Wait a minute. I could be wrong. Yes, I think I am. We do have some thank yous to send out for this 30th day of the month, I think. Yes. Thanks go out to Rico in DeBerg. Thank you, Rico. And thanks to Clarence down in South Carolina, Stan. Thank you both. Now, come February, I don't know what'll happen to your subscription. It'll probably be turned into the 29th of the month or something like that, but we'll worry about that when we get to February. As it is, this is the final broadcast of the month of August 2019. Summer has about 3 weeks left in it. And then we start stockpiling propane and kerosene because we'll be in heating season. Oy. But I'm happy. The stuff is working. And with any luck at all, we will have the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable Friday on the front porch. The link should be up over at headon.live if you'd like to participate in Friday on the front porch. Click the link. It'll carry you right into the into the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. And we'll see what's on everybody's minds because, well, Friday is a good day for clearing the decks and going over things that we didn't catch up to or whatever has happened in the 15-millisecond news cycle that we live in this age of madness. Of course, if you are in the state of Florida, our best wishes go out to you as Hurricane Dorian bears down. Recent forecasting models indicate it could very well be a Category 4 hurricane by the time it makes landfall. And as a bonus, it could just go right across the Florida Peninsula and go over to play in the Gulf of Mexico. The warm, warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico. Where it could then go and do more mischief, perhaps, to the Gulf Coast. Great. Is there any good to become out of, to be had out of Hurricane Dorian? Well, at first I thought, well, you know, maybe if it would slam into that tacky-ass pile of bedbugs and bricks there at either Doral, that's too, or better yet, Mara Slizo. But remember, if so much as a shingle falls off the roof, that grifty little bastard in the White House files a $5 million insurance claim. Because, of course. Because that's the only way he can make money. Fraud. So I don't know how I feel about that. Family bitterness. It would be fine with me if it parked right on top of the head of, I don't even know if he's still there or not. Never mind. But if you're a decent human being, especially if you're a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation, and you're anywhere near where that storm is going to be, please take all appropriate precautions. We will be thinking about you, thinking about folks like V.T. Blom and Barkway and others. Scary Jerry, you stay safe, brother. So that's Topman. And, of course, you know, being Florida, the President of the United States is not sleazing that state's leadership like he did Puerto Rico's. Gosh, I sure do hope Florida Governor Ron DeSantis doesn't monkey up the response to the hurricane. I like to take every opportunity I can to make sure that Ron Monkey Up DeSantis wears the filthy things that he did during his campaign for governor, in which quite possibly it was stolen from Andrew Gillum. Yeah. So we've got that. Lots of water, lots of gasoline for generators and so forth, I'm sure, trying to make its way into Florida. And, of course, you know, there's always the climate crisis, which way too many people in the state of Florida don't even acknowledge to exist. Oh, very good. Joe up in Cleveland. Mar-a-Lago, you know. Bedbugs and beyond. That's good. That's high quality. So what have we got? What have we got for this evening? I want to go back a couple of days. Great moments, not really, in broadcast history. It was, a few days back, on a professional broadcasting TV channel in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, named, its call sign, K-O-C-O, Coco, and they've got their very own morning show. And it features a sort of generic blonde lady named Alex Housden. And she co-anchors with an African-American man by the name of Jason Hackett. You can probably guess that this is not going to go well. A few days back, they had a story about that came out of the Oklahoma City Zoo. And we can save for later the question of why we still have zoos. But, again, that's for later. And the story out of the Oklahoma City Zoo was of a charming primate. They'd put a camera in its enclosure, prison, whatever. And the primate proved to be fascinated with the camera and got its face right up close to it. Well, that's when this happened. The female voice you hear is going to be that of smiling, perky, blonde Alex Houston. Yeah. Ouch.
Okay, you have to see this. This is Finn. We're about to show. Oh, my goodness. Take a look at him. He's a resident of the Oklahoma City Zoo. And this week, the zoo's eighth caretaker took over their Instagram. And we are all loving that they did. And as you can see, Finn was fascinated.
Definitely ready for his close-up.
Tell us, like, you. What do you see the picture?
Tell me those, actually. Yeah.
Did you catch that? Kinda looks like you, Alex Houston says to her African American co-host, Jason Hackett. At which point he, ha 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 ha, one of those, proving that even happy talk can be a minefield for oblivious talking heads on television. Kind of looks like you. Well, Alex Houston wasn't fired, but she was forced to make an on-air apology. And frankly, she was it was much more needed than the apology that had to be given by Lawrence O'Donnell the other night, if we're going to compare apologies. And this was the apology. You know what's interesting is she's making that crying sound with her voice, but and the video's not the best, but it doesn't look like there are any actual tears. Oh, well.
How much I hurt you. I love you so much, and you have been one of my best friends for the past year and a half, and I would never do anything on purpose to hurt you. And I love our community, and I want you all to know from the bottom of my heart, I apologize for what I said. I know I was wrong, and I am so sorry.
Yeah. Because before she said it, she didn't have the common good sense not to compare her African-American co-host and colleague with a gorilla. Because I guess she's grown up in some sort of privileged world where she doesn't know that that's an ancient and vile racist slur. Exhibiting aplomb and class, Jason Hackett accepted the apology and said the lesson here is that words matter. We have to understand the stereotypes, we have to understand each other's backgrounds and the words that hurt, the words that cut deep. He did not refer to her as a cereal mayonnaise eater or an unseasoner of potato salad. Sure she is. Jesus. Other stuff to catch up with. Lawsuit's been filed. Another lawsuit's been filed. This time, the state of New York, Washington, D.C., and five other states have sued the federal government over changes to the National School Lunch Program. Because back when back when we had a functioning presidency, Michelle Obama, the first lady, who, by the way, was referred to as a ape in heels by another woman, this one in West Virginia, she took on the issue of school nutrition and trying to give children who are in schools and trying to learn a better chance at it by virtue of having better nutrition. And so they tried to cut down on salt, processed foods, offering more whole grains. And, well, that's all gone, because anything that the Obamas had to do with had to be erased by this godforsaken administration. And Sonny Perdue, the agriculture secretary, is the named defendant, along with the Department of Agriculture and the National School Lunch Program. And what they did is, in terms of trying to, I guess, make the world safer for the purveyors of crap food, they eased the restrictions that and regulations that had been put in place to let schools serve fewer whole grains and a shit ton more salt. Instead of whole grains, schools can serve things like noodles and tortillas. And they can just forget about the targets for reducing sodium intake. They've gone back to serving low-fat chocolate milk rather than fat-free milk. Well, responding to the lawsuit that was filed, again, New York, California, Illinois, Minnesota, New Mexico, Vermont, and the District of Columbia, U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Berman of the Southern District of New York filed a response saying, "This rule recognizes that a state has no legal interest in protecting its citizens from the federal government, and that only the United States, not the states, may represent its citizens and ensure their protection under federal law in federal matters." In other words, the government lawyer said that states have no interest in trying to protect the children in their charge in schools. In short, telling the states, New York, California, Illinois, Minnesota, New Mexico, and Vermont, and D.C., to fuck off and mind their own damn business, and we'll feed kids in school whatever the hell we want. Yeah. So, never mind the links to heart disease, high blood pressure, and stroke. Never mind the links between processed grain products and type 2 diabetes and heart disease and obesity. Never mind all of that. Your God Emperor wants America's children to eat crap and shut up and be happy about it. More, please. More! Right. You know, if only Vladimir Putin had said that children should eat whole grains, America's school kids, they'd probably be eating nothing but. All right. Steve in New York, in regard to Alex Housden, subject line apologies. "I'm all for redemption and remorse. However, on what fucking planet does someone not see something seriously disgusting about comparing a black man to a primate?" Yeah, there's that. How did she not know? Well, Tracy just says, "Girl, bye." I Damn. Oh, you might get a kick out of this. There are some things in life that you just don't want. And one of the things in life you don't want is a whole bunch of pissed off little girls coming at you on social media. Hi, Kellyanne Conway. she's the target of a lot of teenage and maybe early 20-something ire. They call themselves the Swifties, the fans of Taylor Swift. And they went after Kellyanne Conway, Skeletor herself, with a vengeance. Because of... because of this.
Boost Mobile has a super...
Yeah, okay, we'll... Never mind the ad. We'll get there in a minute. It was queued up, and then it wasn't queued up anymore. Funny how that happens. All right, that's about enough of that.
So may you live in interesting times. That is said to be a Chinese curse. And no doubt, while its origin is dubious, it kind of feels like...
This is some Fox attack blonde. I don't know. I can't keep up.
Like it fits the moment that we are living in. Reports tonight that Chinese officials are confused by the president and will not come to the table right now.
They're confused. Yeah. Try being us. Well, then this happened. Because, see, they had the Video Music Awards, which I didn't watch, and Taylor Swift won for Best Video for You've Got to Calm Down or something like that. You Need to Calm Down. And in a desperate and painful attempt to be hip, Kellyanne Conway quoted the song in a one foot in a bucket kind of attempt to clap back at Taylor Swift, because Taylor Swift had the unmitigated temerity to say that this regime, this maladministration, needs to get on board with the Equality Act, which the House passed and is presently sitting collecting dust on Mitch McConnell's desk. There's a lot of different places on there. There's the part of the desk that's a puddle of congealed blood that has the gun bills in it, innocent congealed blood. And then there's the rest of it is like dusty and spidery and stuff where all the other bills go.
And I keep hearing a number of people say there are all these Republicans who say in private what I'm saying in public. Where are they? Do they work there in the Capitol? Have them come forward. Where are these people? These mysterious people. Well, but where are they? In other words, they can get immediate attention also if they come forward. So I keep hearing people, I keep seeing people on Twitter, hearing people on TV talk about analyses outside of their purview, outside of their professional purview.
All right.
And I think that's pretty dangerous. I'm going to continue to work for this country in that White House and for this president.
Yeah, you're not working for this country, Kellyanne. You're working for Kellyanne and, well, an unindicted co-conspirator. Work for this country.
President and Vice President, because I believe that we are continuing to be a force for good, and Anthony believed that too.
All right.
You know, he was there. He was loyal. He did a lot of great work.
Changed his mind. He's getting a lot of attention. I don't want to give him any more time than we gave him already tonight. But I wanted to get your answer on that.
It's disappointing because I know he's a guy who was very supportive of the president and helped out as he could and was very happy to have that job at the White House.
He sure was, for a short period of time. Now for something completely different. Taylor Swift going after the White House last night at the Music Awards. And here is what...
This, by the way, is one of the few places where Kellyanne Conway can appear on TV now and feel safe. Fox News TV Radio Rwanda is her safe space because she's all snowflakey. Okay,
she's
just
flaky. Talking about the Equality Act and the petition. She wants to see the Equality Act passed, and she wants the White House to get on board. Watch this.
At the end of this video, there was a petition, and there still is a petition.
Woo!
For the Equality Act that now has 500,000 signatures, which is 5 times the amount that it would need to warrant a response from the White House.
And then she did this bit where she looked at her wrist as if it was a wristwatch, and she kind of scowled at it and sneered at it and tapped at it like it wasn't working. Because even with 500,000 signatures on a petition supporting the Equality Act, well, the White House hadn't responded.
She's waiting. She's tapping her watch.
I would love to just survey the audience if they know what that even is, what the Equality Act is and isn't.
Kellyanne wants to survey the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda audience. Of course they don't know what the Equality Act is. Fox News TV Radio Rwanda hasn't covered it. And if they haven't covered it, Emery and Marveline and their matching Barca loungers, all of 93 and a half years old each, don't know.
Well, Marveline, you've got equality. You get to vote.
But she's welcome to her opinion. I will tell you, there's a lot of poison pills in it.
The LGBTQ community believes that it would give them greater equality in the workplace and elsewhere.
Right. And so...
Maybe even full citizenship. So that they can't be fired for just being gay. Or being... trans. What a concept. But, repeating the maggot talking point... Kellyanne says, it's full of poison pills. You know what passes for a poison pill in that world? Not being able to treat someone like shit because of how you think they have sex or what clothing they choose to wear. Because bigotry is what makes Merca great again. See? Yeah.
I actually like the new Taylor Swift song that is called You Need to Calm Down. I can sing it for you, you know, where she says, if you say it on the street, that's a knockout. If you put it in a tweet, that's a cop-out. I love that. That's like, that basically is Washington.
Yeah, don't sing, Kellyanne.
In a nutshell, but she's welcoming her opinion. I think that when Hollywood and singers and all go political, it sounds in the moment like it's very popular, and we've seen so many times where it backfires and it blows up. But she's also somebody who went up against President Trump head to head in the United States Senate race in Tennessee and lost handily. Marsha Blackburn's our United States Senator
That's
from
true.
Tennessee.
But can you give her one answer for why doesn't the White House support the Equality Act?
The President and the White House support equality. We don't support pieces of legislation that have poison pills in it that can harm other people.
Religious bigots, primarily. You know, Trump's base. So they support equality, but not enough to have a law about it. Because, well, if you had a law about it, well, then the law could be, I don't know, enforced. And that's just ookie. Because then somebody who bakes cakes couldn't refuse... You know what I mean. And thus the question presented is, if baking a cake for a gay couple's wedding constitutes participating in their wedding, when a Christian gun shop owner sells a gun to a guy who goes and shoots up a Walmart and massacres a bunch of people for being Mexican, does that mean that the gun shop owner has participated in the massacre? Under what passes for the reasoning of that White House, yes, as a matter of fact, it goddamn well does. You know, there's not a whole bunch of Muslim or Hindu or Jain gun shop owners in the United States. Most of them are white and Christian. So odds are most of the guns that are sold and used in these massacres are sold by Christians. The same kind of Christians who are deeply offended by cupcakes at a gay wedding, but not by AR-15s in a Walmart. That's them.
He has, look at this economy. It's equally open to everyone. People have job mobility. The deregulation, what he's trying to do, bringing peace and prosperity around the world, that's to benefit everyone.
Except for the fact that part of the everyone there can still be fired just for being gay or for presenting a wrong way. A guy being overly effeminate or a woman being overly masculine. Or for dressing as their authentic selves? Yeah, you can still be fired for all of that. But don't look for the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda attack blonde to call her on that.
But when something is named something, it's not always truly that. Yeah, and so we have to look at the legislation, and if she can get her signatures,
maybe
that's
she'll
terrific.
Come in and you guys can debate.
And by the way, Taylor, if you can give a shout out to the USMCA, that would be terrific.
All right, Kellyanne Conway, thanks.
Yeah, the USMCA, the so-called replacement to NAFTA. Well, that didn't work out well. The Swifties got pissed. One person tweeting, all caps, "Swifties, it's time. We've been training for this moment. This is the boss level. We must take down Kellyanne Conway." Taylor has a heart and soul reminding us of the Good Witch of the West. North. That tweet's wrong. Kellyanne is the Wicked Witch of America. Hashtag Taylor is winning. And so, hopefully, Kellyanne's miserable existence will be made even more so. And as for going head-to-head with Trump in a Tennessee Senate election, not really. Not really. She supported the Democratic nominee, and the National Ruble Association supported Marsha, goodness, Blackburn. Yeah. You know what that means. In a place like Tennessee. But here's the thing. The Democratic candidate shot himself in the foot by let's not use that analogy. He put his foot in his mouth, then wedged the other one in with it, when, with no need whatsoever to mention the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings, he proudly announced that he would have supported, had he been in the Senate, he would have supported the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, who likes beer. And at one point in time, he'd had a lead over Marsha Gedness Blackburn. And it went right swirling down the toilet when he opened his mouth and said that he was a fan of a guy credibly accused of attempted rape. That's where that race was lost. Because all of a sudden, voters stayed away from him in Tennessee in droves. It's as if back during the special election in Alabama, if Doug Jones had come out and said, "Well, I don't see anything wrong at all with Creeper and on Santa's little helper at the mall. They're all cute like that, and their little short elf dresses and stuff, and their little pointy hats. I got no problem with that." Right. Oh, and speaking of Tennessee, this was a dandy. Sometimes you see a story and it just makes you so doggone happy. You get such a good laugh out of it. So by now we all know about the great Popeye's chicken sandwich controversy. I'm probably the only person in America who didn't even make an attempt to get a Popeye's chicken sandwich because, of course, the only Popeye's in West Virginia is, I think, up in Morgantown. Other than that, I have to drive to Withville, Virginia to get to a Popeye's. So I just watched it from afar. You may recall, I think I mentioned earlier this week, that Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, wondered if all of those black people so worked up about a chicken sandwich were registered to vote. Well, by God, one young man, young activist, I believe in North Carolina, took it upon himself to do something about that. And so while people were sitting in line waiting for a Popeye's chicken sandwich, he registered people to vote. Good for him. But that's not what this story's about. No, this is about the guy in Tennessee who is suing Popeye's. No, really. Over the chicken sandwich. No, I mean, he didn't get botulism or ptomaine or E. coli or listeria or anything like that from the chicken sandwich. He's mad because he didn't get a chicken sandwich. No, really. This is just too good. The person in question is Craig Barr. He wants $5,000 in damages from Popeye's because he said Popeye's engaged in false advertising and deceptive business practice by entity to public. He filed his lawsuit in Hamilton County, Tennessee, General Sessions Court. And he says that he suffered damages because he drove from Popeye's to Popeye's trying to get this holy grail of a sandwich. And was unable to. Then, because Craig Barr, Barr, I wonder if he's any relation to the Attorney General. Craig Barr, also, because he's a moron, well, he, paid another guy $25. In fact, the language in the lawsuit says he was, quote, hustled out of $25 by a friend of a guy who said on Craigslist that he worked at Popeye's and could get sandwiches that Popeye's was hiding from the public. And then he claims he had $1,500 in damages because he suffered rim and tire damage as he drove from location to location in his desperate search for a Popeye's chicken sandwich. Mm-hmm. Steve in New York. Craig Barr, you know, Bill's boy. Is that the same one that works? No. works for Donald Trump. Jesus. And it was all part of the great chicken sandwich wars of 2019. Because the folks over at Chick-fil-A Hate got on social media and took a jab at Popeye's new chicken sandwich by saying, "We're the original." And somebody, some wise ass at Popeye's, tweeted back, "Y'all good?" And away it went. And it got so intense that Popeye's now says that they're not going to have the chicken sandwich for a while. They completely exhausted their supply chain of the particular kind of chicken breast that they use for the sandwich. And they won't be able to reintro it until sometime next month. And what's been ignored in all of this, and this is the part of it that's actually news, social commentary, whatever. It's not about Americans are so goddamn dumb they'll wait in line for a chicken sandwich. No. It's that people wanted to find out if there was a replacement or a substitute for the chicken sandwich that's loaded with hate over at Chick-fil-A. And if there was, it would be great, because that would mean they wouldn't be going, because for some reason or another, people love Chick-fil-A sandwiches. It's a fucking bun with a fried chicken breast on it and two ribeye slices of pickle. No mayo, no mustard. You know, you can get it dressed with some lettuce and tomato, but it's still basic. And of course, the dirty little secret of why they're so freaking popular is because, like anything else in the United States, we like things that are really, really sweet. And there's powdered sugar in the breading, apparently, at Chick-fil-A Hate. This case, though, Mr. Barr's case, will go to court on October 28th in what is basically Tennessee's small claims court, General Sessions. What is sometimes referred to as pig and chicken court. He stole my pig. No, he stole my chicken. That kind of shit takes place in General Sessions Court in Tennessee. The company has not responded. And Craig Barr is representing himself in the case. Oh, he also suffered indignity and emotional distress because he was such an idiot that his friends laughed at him. Yeah, I wonder if he's doing interviews. What a goddamn dumbass. Steve in New York says, Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A Hate. Chick-fil-A the Klan. Nice company. Nice company. Let's see. And remember, if you'd like to take part in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that is Friday on the front porch, just click the link over at headon.live, and it'll get you right into the merriment. These really are some of my... I'm glad I could get the gremlins sorted out, because I did not want to miss one of my favorite days of the week. that horn thing is back. What does that mean, Eileen? That horn thing is back. Ah, we buffered up. Okay. Yep. Apparently my call to India was ineffective, but we're back. Yeah, there's an announcement that comes on when the stream goes away. So hopefully that... Now I'm just waiting to... Yeah, there it was. Thanks for letting me know, Eileen. I appreciate it. It'd be nice if we could get good internet here, but sorry. We get Frontier instead. They had their trucks down at the little connection at the end of the road. I pulled over and rolled the window down. Said, "Hey, bub, how about you run me some fiber optic?" They just laughed and laughed, yeah. It was a real hoot. So, waiting here for the connection. I don't know if I got the fiber optic from Frontier. It probably wouldn't work either. Sparky says, "Houston, we have a problem." Sorry about the dead air. It's just... Okay, it looks like we're connected. I hope we are. I guess the White Rose stream. Thank you, Randy and PA, and thanks, Asa. The White Rose stream has gone sideways. Well, you know what that means. It does that quite a bit. So go over to the headon.live stream, and you'll be just fine. Unless it buffers up. And that's on Frontier. Not on the server. So, yeah, we're still good at headon.live, and even though I'm sending at White Rose, apparently the program has buffered up and shut down. Damn it. I knew I shouldn't have stopped holding my tongue that long. But it's kind of hard to talk. Okay, well let's go over and check in with the group and see who can and cannot hear. Okay, are you there, Sparky? Sparky, is anybody there?
I can hear you. Hey, Bob.
Oh, good. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Man, Southern fried.
Hey, how bad did you burn yourself, brother?
Second degree burns on my the right arm. I don't have to take any oral antibiotics, thank God, so, but I'll live.
Well, I hate to hear that. What were you frying?
Chicken and shrimp stir fry. And when I put the chicken and the shrimp in, I didn't do what you said and pat it down and...
I knew it.
Yeah. It blistered, and I tried to wrap it, and then the blisters broke, and now it looks like I got a cyclops on my right arm, you know, a third eye or something.
Oh, beautiful. There goes dinner in the central time zone.
I'm here now. Skype was messing with me.
All right, go ahead, Duncan. I'm echoing for some reason.
Well, you're solid on this end. What does it mean since I'm the one who initiated the call, Sparky?
Nothing.
Okay.
Just you helped me. I couldn't do it. It wasn't working for me.
I mean, I don't get a Laurel and Hardy handshake or anything like that. I did, so, yeah.
Yeah, you did. I still got my powers.
Good deal.
Everything's fine.
Well, everything's not fine. The White Rose Society stream just went sideways, but we'll deal.
Did you see that space fart thing the other day?
No, what?
Donald Trump's little Rose Garden space fart.
Oh, yeah, yes. I wasn't making the right proper connection. Yes, we now have a space force.
No, we don't have Space Force.
Space Command?
We already had Space Command.
Well, then what was he
That's
doing
why
in the Rose
I say
Garden?
It was a space farce.
Oh, space farce. Okay, yeah. Okay, wait a minute. Space schmuck.
It was like somebody was trolling him, or they just did that for the ceremony just to make him happy.
Yeah, to make him think that he was doing. But, I mean, I saw stuff go out over social media. You know, Space Command is launched.
So, Space Command launched in 1982.
Yeah, as a subset of the United States Air Force, right?
Correct.
How many assholes
do you have? It has a sub base at Thule in Greenland. From the Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado is the home base.
Jeez. So, he thinks he has a new toy to play with?
I guess. Somebody convinced him. They unfurled the existing flag.
You mean the flag that they already use?
Yeah, he had the space command. Commander there that's been commander for several years. And their chief NCO holding the flag.
No new uniforms or...
No.
Jesus.
I'm surprised you didn't see the speech that was talked about. He was really slurring his words and sniffing his Adderall.
Well, they're having a hard time getting the dosing straight these days. They've been having a hard time.
So.
And what's that, Dave?
He kept repeating himself about how he started and then the inauguration, and he just kept reeling back to the greatest hits.
Well, that's all he can remember.
You know, he kind of reminds me of my aunt when she had cancer. She could barely track.
And then he tweets out a picture today, I guess, of a top secret Iranian launch site that blew up.
I missed that. Was that classified information, and he just declassified it by tweeting it?
I would imagine it was. It was just a satellite photo.
Jesus
Christ. Had all the pointers to it of what was what and what was blown up and that somebody had added on there onto the photograph.
Jesus. But nothing. Curiously enough, though, he hasn't tweeted out any photos of the great big Russian nuclear reactor blowing to kingdom come, right? Because he wouldn't want to offend his master. Oh, God, it's going to be... Because they've been working up there for years.
Yeah, they probably sunk a few nuclear submarines there, too, or something.
Oh, let's see. And there went, yeah, there went the stream again. Damn it.
Did I hear damn it?
Yeah, you heard damn it. Agnes just walked into the room, stream buffering and shutting down.
Microsoft is an evil corporation.
I tell you, something's going on here. I think it's a conspiracy, Bob.
Nah, I wish it would be more fun if it was a conspiracy. This is just incompetence.
He's gone rogue, man. He's gone rogue. He's like totally off the reservation.
I know. Back on live, Bob.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it, Steve.
Yeah, probably not likely. That would kind of violate Occam's razor, right? It's the simplest explanation. That's the correct one, probably. Yeah, I don't know how you do it, Bob. It's got to be frustrating for you. Jeez.
Oh, it's enough to make you chew nails and spit rivets, that's all.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
We're all microserfs.
Right, we are. Yes, we're serving micro.
Any concerts this week, Rick?
Well, I saw the Stones. You know about that.
Yeah, that was a week ago, though, man.
That's old news. I know. I'm thinking of getting some tickets to see Deep Purple. They're playing at the Wiltern Theater, I think on September 3rd or 4th, something like that. So
that'll be a great show.
The first guitar lick every aspiring rock and roll teenage boy guitar player used to learn to play.
You got it. Yeah, I missed them last year, and I don't know if they're going to be coming around next year, so I better catch them now, you know?
Yeah, well, they're half dead anyhow, Rick. Don't kill them all off, man.
I know. Well, you know, it is a small theater, so, you know. Although, you know, Jerry
Your powers Lewis might be lives. Concentrated in a venue like that.
Well, that's true, but Jerry Lee Lewis lives, so does Van Morrison, so does Johnny Rivers. I've seen lots of
action. Which means you're due.
What's that?
You're due.
Either that or they all went down to the crossroads.
Yeah. there's a concert in Texas for that. Lots of big acts are going to be there. Yeah, that'll be good. So, yeah, I'm kind of I pulled an all-nighter last night. I may do another one tonight or close to it. I got to get a filing in. So I may be just kind of listening to you all speak for the most part tonight, okay?
That's fine.
Yeah.
Before you disappear to nothing but listening. Sure. Any cases out on the horizon bugging you or? Just real quick, the O'Donnell thing. I wanted to get your take.
That's very interesting. You know, has that harder dickum and. Suckum done anything else or not? That firm?
Well, Harder was Harder's the president's lawyer. NBC Universal has Wiener Cummer.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. You know, I'd like to think we're going to find out something at some point in time. I mean, how can you keep these things so secret for so long? That's what I'm amazed. You know. I mean, during the Watergate era, you know, they couldn't keep the stuff secret, and that led to Nixon's downfall. I think maybe Congress had some more cojones then, though. That's the thing, you know? I mean, you know, the House, they're afraid to even start an inquiry. We're not talking impeachment. We're just saying, let's just investigate it, you know, and see
what I thought Nadler said that's what was going on.
Well, yeah, but maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it's just a rose by another name. Bob, who knows?
We'll find out next week.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually call it an impeachment inquiry. That seals off a lot of avenues for the investigation.
Well, it may, but it also gives the House a better position in court when they're trying to compel compliance to subpoenas and say, look, you know, we've got a real investigation going on here, you know? Whereas if they're just sort of like, hey, you know, yeah, we'll see what's going on. We're not going to, you know, do much and, you know. You know, so I don't know. You know, if that allegation is true, though, and that can somehow be proven, oh, boy, you know.
It's got to be true.
Huh? I think it is. I doubt Lawrence O'Donnell would have come. I doubt he would have disclosed that if he didn't really have confidence that it was true, you know, but.
Yeah, well, a thinking mind would say it was true because somehow he got all these loans from Deutsche Bank.
Yeah.
When no other banks in the world would loan him money.
Yeah, yeah, that was rather strange, right? I mean, we're only, you know, Russian-connected types of banks or banks that had a lot of Russian customers.
Well, the other tell, though, is the fact that so many things have been said about him and about his corruption, and they've sat still. This comes out, right. And suddenly there's a nasty gram attached.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of confessional in its own right, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, they doth protest too much, as they say, you know. Yeah, that's pretty big. I think
if they hadn't said anything, it probably would have died.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe, although, you know, other news outlets might have picked it up, though, if they hadn't sent that nasty gram. I think they're trying to deter the Fourth Estate from, you know, doing their constitutional duty of, you know, policing the government. That's what this is all about, I think, you know.
And now Trump Jr. wants to sue MSNBC.
Oh, Eric does too. He's all, oh, we're going to sue. Okay, you do that, Junior. You do that.
Yeah. Let's wait for those depositions and all that discovery, and you know, we'll see where that leads. You know, how could that be good for
discovery
them?
Leads to all kinds of interesting places.
That's awesome. And he already said they get their money from the Russians.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the only logical explanation as to his behavior. Like, why would he never, you know, criticize, you know, big Vladdy Daddy, you know? You know, and why would he want them back in the G7? Nobody else is saying they want them back. Even the Russians don't really, you know, care about it. At least maybe that's part of the shtick, though, that they're running with Trump. Who knows? You know, maybe they're like, you know, saying, hey, you know, no big deal. You know, it could be like a good cop, bad cop kind of act on their part, you know. But, who knows where the corruption's going to lead. I mean, we'll see what happens, you know, with the economy. If the economy starts to go south and he loses, you know, more and more support, then you never know, you know.
Well, now, one, he's never going to drop below 33%.
No, he's not.
Because maggots.
Right.
But two, Russia may not want in because what's the point? If they were let back in, that just means a meeting that Putin has to go to and have people a hell of a lot smarter than him telling him what a shit weasel he is for invading Ukraine. And then he winds up getting thrown out again, and that's double the humiliation.
Well, they got a point there, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Yeah, what's Vlad going to talk about? He's sanctioned by all those other, you know, G8 countries or whatever, the other G7 countries, you know? What's the point? He's going to be like a potted plant there, you know? I guess Donnie would talk to him, I'm sure. They would have lunch together without any, translators present or just one translator for each side and nobody taking notes, you know?
Talk? Kind of like Donnie would blow him.
Yeah. Vladdy would say, shut up. You talk too much, Donnie. Don't ruin it. Oh, geez.
Yeah, well, I bet you Melanoma wouldn't look at Vladdy Daddy the way she does at Justin Trudeau.
Oh, my God. If there was a room available, those guys would have gone for it, I think, you know?
Well, she would have.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted any.
No, he had that I know where your mouth's been look on his face.
Yeah.
No, she'd trip him and be on the ground before he got there.
Oh, geez. There you go. Well, that's an interesting idea. Roger says, what happens when the U.S. gets kicked out and it makes it the G6? Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But you never know, Roger. Yeah.
Might try to withdraw from it like he did the Paris Accords.
Yeah, I guess he could. It's like maybe he'd say, well, if you're not going to let Russia back in, I'm leaving. I'm not going to go anymore. You know? Oh, geez. So, well, anyway.
This administration, there are going to be a lot of people putting guns to their heads because they don't want the inquiry afterward.
Yeah, if they lose the elections, I think so. Yeah, you're going to be, you know, maybe they'll find some nice tall cliffs to, you know, to try and fly from or something like that, you know.
Last days of the Fourth Reich.
Yeah. Well, but the problem is, after the Third Reich, there was denazification, and it worked in Germany. But all the Nazis moved over to the U.S. You know?
Well, it didn't.
Have to have trials for crimes against humanity.
Yeah, well.
I mean, for Christ's sakes, I really hadn't mentioned it, but you know, the fact that this gang of punks and thugs and low rent scumbags is kicking children out of hospitals in the middle of chemotherapy.
Oh my God!
I mean, that's real.
I heard about one Spanish girl whose family is using private insurance and private money to pay for her treatment. They've been told to leave within 33 days. They came here legally, but now Trump wants to kill this girl and others. And then go, well, I'm making America great again.
Is that the girl in the deformed girl in the wheelchair that has that disease that they kind of cured?
Yeah.
She was the trial patient.
Yeah, they only had like 100 people worldwide, and she was one of the few that was able to actually go through the trial because she was young enough, because evidently her disease kills you right around the age of 20. And she was a teenager, so.
She was younger than that. Now she's 23.
Hmm. Yeah, and now, I mean, she still needs treatment. And Donnie Dumbass and the racists in his regime are like, well, she's got to go. Well, did anybody remind him that Spain is part of Europe? I mean, I know his maggot base doesn't know a Mexican from a Puerto Rican, but damn.
Well, you will never go broke underestimating the intelligence of the maggots, Dave. I mean, that's just a fact.
Well, then let me put five on maggot number one.
Well, you know what? Maggots actually make lemmings seem like a very highly intelligent creature, you know?
Well, but the lemmings go back to the Bush administration and going off the cliff.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah. I mean, and all of this is terribly serious stuff, and it has historical precedent. For instance, we've got a little mumps epidemic going now in our concentration camps. Did you catch that one?
Jeez. Yeah. No.
Oh, and they changed the regulations. Now, members of Congress can only spend 2 hours in a facility, according to the ICE bugs. They did that this week, too.
Jeez.
And if I were a congressperson, I'd be like, no, this is part of my job in oversight. I mean, it used to be that Congress people would go into a place and they'd say, oh, shit. Now it's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's no kidding. There's like 900 cases of mumps.
Jeez.
And they won't vaccinate.
Right, and they won't, that because they won't vaccinate.
Well, that pleases the anti-vaxxers, Jill.
Yeah, and it pleases the maggots because, of course, one of the side effects of mumps is the ability to... No, is sterilization.
Sterility, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And on top of it all, there I saw one report from a member of Congress touring a facility in California, I believe. It had 128 beds.
Yeah, that I heard about that report.
It's got 900 people in it.
Jeez.
And see, and again, this is historically how concentration camps work. They're always overcrowded. There are always threats of disease. There's never enough food, never enough hygiene. Another story that said girls in a facility, I think in Texas, when their monthly cycle rolls around, they get one tampon per day.
Oh, geez.
Well, anybody who knows anything or remembers the 70s and 80s knows about toxic shock syndrome.
Oh, jeez.
And that'll kill you.
And that will kill you deader than Pharaoh's cat. Yeah. And and one of the most surefire ways for a woman to get toxic shock syndrome is to not change tampons like every 4 hours or so.
Oh, jeez.
And so if you're using one all day long, the odds of toxic shock go up considerably.
Mm.
But again, that's not a flaw. That's a feature if you're a maggot.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That congressperson that visited the border was Katie Porter.
I thought it was Katie Porter. Yeah. She's a good one.
She's a good representative.
She drove from her district to the border.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's giving the corporate executives a real hard time when they testify in front of her subcommittees and stuff, and she's a very tenacious questioner.
But we need to take up global warming. This storm looks like it's going to be a monster.
Yeah, it does not look good. When it was first announced, didn't look like it was going to be much, but I had a feeling it was going to
happen. Trump was making light of it, Rick, because it was going to hit Puerto Rico. He didn't care. He thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hitting a swing state. He's getting all serious about it,
Right.
Now, I have a question for the group.
Yeah, go ahead.
This comes from Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Ask the group if they can apply their group wisdom to answer this question. Since we know this administration is chronically understaffed, what happens to the monies that have been budgeted to pay those salaries? Do they have no-show employees? Do the few real staff that they have split the money up? Does the government accounting office have access to the types of records? This issue runs too deep to go unanswered. Well, unspent budgeted money doesn't roll over, to the best of my knowledge. So the rule of thumb in all government is use it or lose it.
unfortunately, the president does have discretionary spending, and they were going over that earlier today, so.
Yeah, and he can move it around, and, well, if he if there's some extra money, he can build the wall. He can build some wall.
All right, to hell with everybody suffering by being slammed by his goddamn hurricanes.
There's one of those embarrassing silences.
We don't have the results of the hurricane yet to say what how much money they're going to need.
It's not looking pretty, though. No matter what scenario you play out, somebody's going to get nailed. Unless it hugs the coast and, you know, and heads up the Atlantic and dies in cold waters. I don't see that happening, though.
No, he's just trying to collect enough money so that when Mar-a-Lago gets nailed and the properties on either side don't get touched at all, he can rebuild Mar-a-Lago on federal money, and then he leaves office and he gets rich again.
Well, that's a half a billion dollar golf game right there.
Jesus. I'm sure he's got some kind of umbrella policy.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't kidding. He's filed bullshit claims in the past.
Well, that's what grifters do.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll make enough money to get rid of the bed bugs at Doral.
Yeah, I heard about that. Some dude got ate up with bed bugs.
It is not nice. Ordinarily, most people aren't bothered by them. But if you're bothered by them, it's worse than fleas. It's worse than poison ivy. Horrible.
I have a sensitivity to them.
Keep your luggage off the carpet. Put it in the bathroom somewhere elevated on one of those racks, and you're less subject to take them home with you, at least.
Yeah, but they're great hitchhikers.
Yes, they are.
I mean, when the bed bugs first started hitting New York, I heard, you know, everybody's like, well, it's because of dirt and all that. That's not true. The United Nations had a big problem. In fact, the BBC's press office was chock-a-block full of them. And they tried everything. I mean, everything. You'd think one of the cleanest places in New York would be the United Nations. So if they can infest that building, they can infest anything.
What do you mean?
90% damn airplanes.
What do you mean? 90% of the United Nations made up of shit full of countries.
Yeah, I was about to answer Dave by saying that not according to the conversation Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan had from that recording a few weeks back. Nasty bastards. Well, good. I'm glad. I'm always glad I can make people laugh. I got a note here from Lady B, Re Melania. Bob, you made me spit out my soda. She'd trip him and be on the ground before he got there. Bob, honey, you better watch it now. You're too quick-witted for your own good.
Yeah, that look she gave him, she would knock Trump over to get to him. Does anybody got a still of that they can post in the room or something? Or?
Oh, God, it was all over. I can't imagine there's nobody who didn't see it. It's kind of weird. I guess I saw a photo a couple of weeks back. Little Boron has taken a growth spurt. He's now
taller than his old man.
Yeah, he's now taller than his daddy. But his filthy old daddy is apparently also shrinking, too.
But he's wearing high heels.
But did you notice how when he was standing there about the same time that Melanoma was trying to throw herself at Justin? There was there were other leaders around, and he was trying to pull a leader in between him and Justin Trudeau because it was obvious they were all standing on the same level, you know, floor surface, and pretty clear that Trudeau's taller than him. He claims to be 6'3". If he's 6 foot, I'm surprised. Of course, we all lose height as we age.
Yeah, but didn't Dr. Ronnie make him grow an inch so that he'd be right within the...
Wrong inch. No cowbell for that? You're a tough crowd, you know that? You are.
I laughed.
Okay, thank you, Roger. You restore my faith.
I mean, he got an inch between his thumb and his little finger, of course.
That, yeah. I was thinking more like along the lines of the title of that rock opera, Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
So what is it? Your ears get longer and your digits get shorter as you age.
Yeah, and dihydrotestosterone is the cause of baldness, and it's what makes the hair on top of men's heads stop growing. And the hair in their nose and ears start.
And their eyebrows.
Yes.
And all over their back.
If there is a creator, he's got a...
Well, there went dinner in the mountain time zone. Back hair.
I lost an inch and a quarter from the time I was sworn into the Air Force till now.
Where?
In height. I was 6'4", now I'm 6'2¾".
A real comic would have answered Thailand.
I just had a visual of Duncan with the ruler out, you know.
Now, I made a lot of deposits in Thailand, but I didn't lose that much.
Give yourself a cowbell for that one, Bob.
Thank you, Dave.
Yo.
Yo, what's up?
I think he was talking to somebody else.
Okay.
I saw an article that did my heart good. Evidently, in San Antonio, Texas, they built a water park for kids, for disabled kids. They've got specially designed wheelchairs and everything. It's sounded pretty cool.
Yeah, there's feel-good stories out there if you search for them.
Well, the funny thing is, the guy who posted it to my Facebook feed is a right-wing tool. So I guess the goddess of irony is working overtime in my life.
I have a maggot-free Facebook.
When you're fighting with hot grease and Microsoft all week, you know, don't feel good stories aren't really on your radar, man.
Man, Hot Grease and Microsoft sounds like the title to something. Maybe a country song.
Maybe we should be write an album or something. Maybe a good album cover title, wouldn't it, Bob?
Yeah. Hey, Dave, was it the same company that built that water slide that ejected the kid or decapitated the kid in Kansas City?
No.
That makes me feel better.
They were working with some university in Pennsylvania on the design of the wheelchairs and things so that the kids could play and they could have able-bodied kids and disabled kids playing on the same slides. And it was, I think, you know, having cerebral palsy, I personally think it'd be a great thing to see. Because they didn't have that sort of stuff when I was a kid.
Well, technology can be a blast.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. When it's used for good, not like an evil corporation like... Goddamn, Bill Gates cost me a day's work, cost Bob a day's work. I seen a screen I ain't never seen before. It said self-utility repair, now engaging. Like, what the fuck is this?
They're taking over.
I'm sorry, Steve. I can't do that.
This will take over an hour to run. And it did. It took 2 or 3 hours. Cost me a day's work.
Well, and see... Probably to be something approaching fair, there are people. Most people probably don't have a problem because they don't have any particularly hinky setups.
Add-ons.
Well, you know, you plug up the monitor, you plug up the machine, you don't plug up the keyboard, the mouse, whatever, and you go and you're done. But with this, for instance, this little mixer is seen by the machine as a discrete sound card. And when it erased every sound setting. And I have multiple sound settings on the Fab machine.
Oh, God.
Because Frank made sure that we had... lots of potential ins and outs for getting the audio, you know, to y'all. It erased everything. It deleted everything. And so then you're running around, and you know the Windows 10 sounds did the same thing to Arnold up in PA. And either they hate people who do radio or deal with sound, or it's just, as Brother Deacon Asa pointed out, sloppy-ass coding.
I've got a terabyte hard drive, and it just drops files all over the place, man. It took me over 3 hours to do a defrag. And I don't mean I hear radios clicking off. I don't mean for eyes to glaze over or anything. But
no. If you're having them, if you're having these problems, other people are having these problems. I sent a text message to Tara telling her to watch out because it'll probably screw her over too. I mean, I don't know. Maybe she uses a Mac.
You don't have much of a choice. Like, I was happy with Windows 7. They could have left it alone. That was the smoothest running OS so far.
Well, the sound,
you
yeah.
You have to get 10, man.
The sound interface from, and this really marks me as ancient, the sound interface from XP was as good as they've ever had. It was clean. It was accessible. No problems. It was, and this is the most important part, it was intuitive.
Seems like we're going backwards.
This is all counterintuitive. And and then on top of it all, the little road rig that I use, well, they had a massive firmware update.
Talk about piling on, man. Jesus.
Oh, last night was like an ass beating. And for the life of me, I couldn't get a stream out. And then I had to, and then just on a hunch, because this is how you work by hunch. I changed the frame rate, and lo and behold, it heard audio again, and I had playback again. And that was strictly, you know, dumb luck.
You hit snake eyes, didn't you, Bob?
Oh, I did, and I kept rolling until I made a point and could get out of the game.
I'm afraid to restart my computer now because you don't know if it's going to start back up again or not. You know,
Jesus, that's how I make my living. Without a computer, I can't earn. These fuckers. I ought to send Bill Gates a fucking bill. Hey, you owe me for a day's work, dickhead.
Well, maybe sue him for $5,000 like the dude did with Popeyes. You've got a hell of a lot better claim with that. Get billable Rick and pro bono Steve on the case.
Hey, I was just a small claims court yesterday as a witness. There were some interesting cases. The issues are very interesting in those little cases.
It's amazing. Yes, they are.
Yeah. The judge was very efficient, and there was this one guy was hired to do some driving by like the Sheikh of Saudi Arabia or something like that, and you know, the contract supposedly said you had to stay in Los Angeles. Well, somebody told him to drive some people up to San Francisco, and they wouldn't pay him for that. They only paid him $400 a day for like 8 days, and then another couple hundred bucks. So it was $3,000 is all they paid him, and refused to pay him anymore. Refused him to pay for the trip to San Francisco, and obviously somebody told him to go up there. It's like, you're not going to do that on your own, you know? Oh, I think I'll drive a Saudi official or a rich Saudi guy up to San Francisco. Sure, you know?
It's so. Been my observation, when .NET framework updates, you're in for a beating, because after that, there's more updates to follow. They don't tell you that, you know, but they just force them on you. And you take a serious ass whooping, and it ties up 4 or 5 hours of your day. Fuckers.
Well, who won, Rick? You can't leave us hanging.
I think he lost. She took it under advisement, but it didn't look like it was going his way. The reason I was there is my boss got sued by a former expert witness for one of our clients who also stiffed us. And they sued us in the wrong court in Riverside County, I guess, Rancho Cucamonga. The contract was done in Los Angeles. It was in a Los Angeles Superior Court case. And this guy was like a beverage control expert hired in a tax case to determine what the correct tax was and, what allowances you get for overpours and spills and, bad tubes and stuff like that,
Wait a minute, Rick. Microsoft, are they still headquarters out of Redmond?
Redland?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no.
Redmond, Washington.
I was going to say, man, hell yeah, let's hook up. Let's make some money, fuckers.
Yeah.
Time somebody brought it back to them, you know?
Let's do it. Let's sue them in small claims. What the heck?
Huh? Yeah. What do you got to lose, right?
Microsoft was in India. They kept calling me every day.
Yo, my cell phone, yeah. Microsoft, we need your password, Mr. Nunley. Fuck you.
Yeah, so the beverage control guy had this weird idea that somehow my former law firm had agreed to pay him the attorney's fee or witness fees, expert witness fees, even though we specifically told him it was the client who was going to pay, and he was a wealthy, successful attorney and CPA wherever he was. We produced an email. I think the judge is going to rule against him. But the weird thing is he sued both of us, and somehow the other guy got out. The client got off, got dismissed in San Bernardino, or I guess Rancho Cook, and then he was told he had to file in Santa Monica against us because we're based in LA County. And so he got screwed because, he can't bring in the real guy who really owes him the money. So not that he could collect it from him anyway, So that was my small claims experience. It was interesting.
Well, pain and suffering, grief, and jacking up my blood pressure. There's got to be some coin in there somewhere, man.
Yeah, you'd like to.
Steve's serious.
Yeah.
I bet Bob was mad. He's ready to bite a nail in two yesterday, man.
Well, I managed to scrounge together an hour's worth of really frustrating radio, and that's all I could manage. Because I know it may sound crazy, but if you're prepared to do one thing and you wind up having to do another, it just takes your head out of the right space.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like Duncan's been saying, this Skype thing's been getting progressively worse. And now it's to the point where I hear myself echo, and I don't know what the fuck's causing it. I don't have a clue, man.
Are they just not supporting the interface anymore? Is that the deal?
They just don't give a shit. Like Asa said, it's piss poor code writing. They don't give a shit. They where else is going to go?
Yeah, right. Good luck, right? They say. Yeah. Yeah.
But enough of those turd heads.
Well, Dave says, sorry for calling you out, but he said Microsoft deletes any incompatible programs when it's updated. Goodbye sound drivers written for Windows 7. It's your fault for not turning off updates like every system administrator does. You should see my spouse's work notebook. It's running build 1709. It's never had a problem. So maybe that is the answer. Turn off the damned updates. I don't think
1709/64-bit as well.
I don't think Sparky's updated his computer since the W administration. Have you, Sparky?
He avoids it like the plague.
No, I don't. I update every time it says update.
Well, you had one machine that hadn't been up.
Three of them.
Yeah, but you had one machine one time that hadn't been updated since the Harding administration.
He still put punch cards in it.
No, I got an old Windows XP tower, but I don't use it anymore.
Is that the Unilab 9000?
The Commodore 64?
No, it was an,
No, they're using those for Space Force.
It was an old Wang, right, Sparky?
Jesus. I can't
it's a hell of a way to talk to a
now.
Friend.
Oh, I tell you.
It was a subsidiary gateway, I think, or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Don't diss the Commodores.
The first computer I ever had was a 386. I had to buy it on time. It was like $3,000. It was bigger than a damn house, man.
It's a brick tower.
Had like 500 gigabyte hard drive. Remember my cousin Eugene saying, "Oh,
no, a Commodore that had a 500 meg hard drive, bub."
Yeah, that's what I meant, Bob. I'm sorry. Thanks for correcting.
Hey, Sparky, are you talking about the Trash 80? Remember the Trash 80 computer?
No. I'm talking one I bought in 2005. Oh, that was my first computer.
Hey, yeah, we used to.
You ought to go back to using a K-Pro with CPM.
I just remember playing Zork on a Commodore 64.
I had that too, Bob.
My favorite game on Commodore was called USAAF, and it was a World War II simulator.
That was a fun. Yeah, mine was Leisure Suit Larry. That was hilarious, man, from back in the day.
All I can remember is playing Daffy Duck Drop and Whack the Penguin.
And we thought we were high cotton then.
Duke Nukem.
I don't think we've progressed much.
Oh, no, I love Duke Nukem.
Did any of you guys have the baseball game where you could...
Dot Matrix, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, and you could pick, like, they had teams, like, lineups going back to, like, the 27 Yankees, and you can match up, like, the 27 Yankees with, let's say, the 60-something Pirates, right? So you'd have the Yankees going against Clemente and those guys. It was cool. It was fun. That was on the Commodore 64.
It had them big 7.5-inch, and they were really floppies, too.
Yep. Yeah.
They were like cardboard almost, you know.
I remember
3.5-inch, you know.
I remember MicroProse pirates. And it was all VGA graphics.
VGA. I don't remember that one. There was another game called Lords of Conquest, which was fun.
The Bard's Tale, which they have reissued.
And honest to God, the best first-person shooter I've ever played.
Doom?
No, it ran on, God, I can't remember which version, but it was, I got it in the late 90s. Klingon Honor Guard. God, that thing, the graphics for the time were magnificent. And just, it was a total immersive Klingon experience.
Is that a Win 95 game?
Bro? Yeah, I think it was Win 95. Yeah. You know, globule. And see, this is what makes me know for pretty sure that violent video games don't turn you into a school shooter. Because I really enjoyed the hell out of Klingon Honor Guard. And, you know, chopping a Romulan into chutney with a batleth was an extremely gratifying experience. But I never wanted to translate it into the real world.
I can't see it, Bob.
Which?
No, I just can't see you turning into some kind of school shooter. No.
No, but I was a mean ass Klingon. That's the whole point.
Yeah. Right.
Bob was kicking ass and taking numbers, man.
And correcting grammar, I'm sure.
My Klingon grammar's a little weak, Dave.
Well, then play more Honor Guard and learn it, damn it. The Empire requires it.
My first Win 95 machine was an AST Adventure. And it was famous for getting the blue screen to death. Yeah, I'm sure everybody remembers that. It was old enough to enjoy Windows 95. Everything would just go blue. This is a pretty blue now. Now what?
the B-sod. Blue screen of death. Of course, I remember how hard I laughed when Peter Godbold, who was my intro to understanding anything about computers, and I still don't know as much, explained that Windows 3.1.1. You remember Windows 3.1.1?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He referred to that as Windows for warehouses because there were warehouses full of it. Oh, here's one. Robert in Australia says, my Amiga 2000 is still running. It's on now, and I'm using it. Never replaced a component. It's still got the original hard drive and power supply. And I have Windows 7 running in VirtualBox on my Mac running 10.11.6. At least Apple asks you if you'd like to update. Yeah, because mine just came with, update, goddammit! Yeah.
Oh, well, update! What the computer was, it was an E-machine.
Yeah.
I owe my relationship to a Coleco Adam with Christine. Because Coleco. Her brother...
That was a Radio Shack deal, wasn't it?
No, that was the TRS.
No.
Okay.
The Radio Shack.
No, the Coleco Adam was a tape drive machine. You put a cassette tape in to... Yeah, I'm not kidding.
That and never went corrupt or future, failed on you, did
it? My future brother-in-law said, come up to my apartment and see my new computer. Well, it turned out that it was Christine's apartment and Christine's computer, and he had gone downstairs to get some sodas. And she comes walking in. I think it's his girlfriend or his wife or something. And she goes, no, I'm his sister. and this is my apartment. Who are you?
Who the hell are you?
Back to Franklin. I'm going to kill that son of a bitch when I get out of jail. But she says that she thought I was cute, so she didn't approach the issue.
She took a baseball bat to you.
And that's how I met the beloved Christine. Yeah. It was.
Who hadn't been so mad at their computers that they just felt like smashed it to bits and thrown it out the fucking window before? I know I have hundreds of times, man.
Yep.
Oh, the Commodore was the worst one for wanting to do that. Because the way I had a problem one time, and to get the keyboard working, I had to unplug the joystick. So, yeah.
Damn computers, I'll tell you.
Hopefully, I got one more. I'm going to be subbing for Malloy on Tuesday, and I got one more gremlin to sort out.
Oh.
And hopefully that won't take all weekend.
Let me change the gears and ask Chris a question. Chris, what do you think about all these Biden gaffes?
I don't know, man. I think he is heading south a little bit. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It happens to everybody.
Yeah, when you get after all he's been through mentally, losing all, you know, he's lost wife, he lost his whole family, he lost his son just recently. That's got to play on your psyche.
I think he needs to drop out.
Yeah, or it's going to come down to, you know, and you know they're going to do this too. Well, we know Trump lies, but look at Biden. Look what he just said. You know.
Well, you know, I first heard the what struck me is when I was hearing coverage, and I'm not gooning on him. Okay.
No, I'm not.
Nor am I.
No,
because I'll.
But when I heard him tell that story of the Navy captain who went down a 60-foot cliff to rescue his comrade, and then said, "Don't pin it on me, don't pin it on me," he died, sir, and it was a Silver Star. I mean, there was not one. I think maybe the Afghanistan part was correct,
right?
But that's about it.
It was a mashup of all this other stuff, you know, and it.
And the thing is, I'm hearing about it on MSNBC, and it immediately occurred to me, they sent Brian Williams into the wilderness for less of a whopper than that one was.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not good, and it plays to the narrative that, you know, you got one old guy going up against another old guy.
Well,
you know, and
yeah, and Trump is, and remember,
truth is not truth.
Remember, in that scenario, one old guy going up against another old guy. In that scenario, Chris, Trump's the younger guy. Fuck.
Yeah, and they're gonna hammer that home. And they're going to say, Joe's lost it, you know. You can see the commercials already. They're going to hammer them.
Well, it's like the Dean scream. You know, that was done with intent. It had to have been. There you go.
Well, yes, Steve.
The Dean scream was audio. Was
right.
It wasn't audio manipulation. But if you were in the room, it was nothing.
It was out of context.
But because they took the audio off the board, it made him sound like a maniac shrieking into a microphone.
Yep.
They're going to try and get him for the plagiarism from the early 80s, I believe it was, too.
Well, there's no getting, Dave. He was stone cold busted for it.
Well, yeah, I know, but they're going to dredge that up again and again and again and again and again.
They're not even going to have to do that because he gives them fresh material every goddamn day.
Then I've got one piece of advice for the vice president. Shut the fuck up.
No, with all respect, the one piece of advice is, let me see if I can get my horse. Let me do this right. No, it's the wrong one. Okay.
Am I getting reverb here?
No, here we go.
Okay.
Get out.
Yeah, get out.
Get out.
I think he would have been stronger had he done what his son asked him to do and run the last time.
Yes. Right, but a determination had been made that the last time Hillary was the stronger candidate.
And it was her turn.
And he had been told that.
Well, why in the hell has the Democratic Party turned into the Republicans of the 80s? Because they have this thing in the Republican Party of, well, it's his turn.
Yep. The corporate media keeps pimping him on us. They keep shoving him down our throats. And it's probably going to wind up like that, you know.
Well, Steve, Biden poses no threat to their way of life, you know, the corporate news media way of life.
Well, out of all of them, he's the most corporate-friendly candidate. That's why, you know, they're embracing him for now, in my opinion.
Bernie and Elizabeth may break their asses up.
But, I would team him at the next debate.
But if you really think about it, where the multi-billionaire for-profit media are concerned, it's all summed up in what Les Moonves said. Donald Trump may not be good for the United States, but he's great. He's great. He didn't say he was good. He's great for CBS.
Yeah.
And all of these cable channels have never had higher ratings than what they get because everybody tunes in every day to see what Trump's fucked up lately.
The World Wrestling Election.
Where is the Trumpster fire spread today?
And so, you know, in a way, I'd be surprised if the media didn't think that, this election can kind of hang fire. Because if he's reelected, hoo-wee, we're going to make money hand over fist. And they're so short-sighted or so money-sighted that they don't understand that there's something at stake here besides money.
The Morning Joe will have another 4 years golden.
Boy, does anybody work there anymore? I tuned in this morning. No Joe, no Heilman, no Willie, no Mika Mouse.
Yesterday, Mika was gone.
Mika was gone today, that, too.
Yeah,
I mean they pretty much had Caddy Kay sitting there with her. I think she's had some recent new work done or something. Yeah, who cares? That's Caddy. And they they brought in
unintended.
Yeah, they brought in the practice squad.
See, here's their danger though for NBC, right, or MSNBC. If Trump wins. And you get somebody who steps out of line, like O'Donnell, I mean, they can come after and they can break up that entire company, right? They can smash it to bits with antitrust violations or whatever. So they better be careful. If anybody, and look at all the vitriol that Trump has for Fox News now. Fox News is like, you know, liberal bastion, you know? So... they better watch it.
I believe, Bob, you asked Gullible Rick about this. This O'Donnell thing, if he would have just stood by a statement, Trump would have had to come forth with discovery.
Yes.
Correct?
It was a great game of chicken, and
Well, that assumes that a lawsuit's filed. They're never going to file that lawsuit. They were trying to scare him, to scare them, and they knew that the network was gut, you know, had no guts.
You know, you're right. Yeah, guts. Rick, and unfortunately, you're right, Rick. It's too bad. That's a missed opportunity.
I mean, big corporations' role is, you know, they are very risk averse. You know, the people in the litigation departments don't want to expose them to any risk at all. There's a bunch of nervous Nellies. They've never seen the inside of a courtroom. They're afraid to go to trial. You know, they don't know. They wouldn't know what to do.
So, from an ethical standpoint,
yeah,
and in terms of how lawyers deal with other lawyers, Harder writes this letter to Wienerkommer.
Yeah.
If they had Anthony's written back, there? If they had written back, sue me, dirtbag. I'll be waiting outside.
Yeah.
Would that have triggered an ethics complaint or anything? Okay, who's all scratchy?
I don't think that's me.
Oh, there we go. My mic shut off. I don't think that would.
I was trying to find out by my mute function.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought I was self muting somehow. No, I mean it was me. An ethics issue. I don't see an ethics issue, really.
I mean, can lawyers responding to other lawyers just be nasty?
Of course, Bob. Yeah, absolutely. A nice lawyer?
Yeah, you know.
Kind of an oxymoron.
File your complaint, you syphilitic tapeworm. Do your goddamnedest.
Yeah, well.
Fill your hands, you son of a bitch.
Well, why did Lawrence fold like a cheap suit then?
Because he had to.
He was told by the suits he had to apologize.
Because they were going to give him the Keith Olbermann treatment if he didn't.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. I mean, we could have really made some headway if he was able to stand his ground and said, fuck you, I stand by it, sue me.
And Steve has jumped in from New York and said, in New York City, that would in no way have triggered an ethics complaint.
No.
File your fucking lawsuit, you fucking dirtbag.
Yeah.
You work for Donald Trump. What the fuck is wrong with you? You sleazy, pettifogging piece of shit. No, really. File it. I'm coming to you. I'll wait in the office. Bring it out. I'll accept service, you goddamn shit eater. You work for Donald Trump, you scumbag.
Do you ever feel like we're all being played, man? Sometimes I do.
No, but I mean, would it not be gratifying to find out that had happened? Wouldn't you feel good about it?
Absolutely.
That somebody was punching back for a fucking change?
Yes, we need it.
Instead of rolling over like a fat seal the next fucking night, you know?
Oh, Donald Trump's a public figure in this case wouldn't have a fucking prayer under New York Times versus Sullivan and Falwell v. Hustler. Ooh, but we're scared. We might have to spend a nickel litigating the goddamn thing.
I do indeed apologize. Fuck.
Falwell v. Hustler proved that even though you're a public figure, you can be held up to ridicule. There was I don't know what the case was, but there was a case where Carol Burnett sued the Inquirer over some story they did about her getting
into she party. Won, too.
And she won. And they held that because Kissinger was a public figure, he was subject to ridicule as part of satire, which, you know, Carol's one of the great practitioners of.
Well, I don't think MSNBC is their friends, and we shouldn't be fooled by them. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, meanwhile, Jimmy in the Great Northwest would like the return correspondence to have read, Bring It On. Remember Bring It On? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Can you imagine if they'd taken this up a level and threaten the MSNBC attorneys with some bar association action. And looking over at the bar in New York, those guys are going, get the hell out of here. What the hell are you wasting our time for?
Well, Stephen New York says, yes, we can be nasty. I've actually said this to a threat. Knock yourself the fuck out. That sounds very New York, Steve. Oh, here's a fun one as we head into the third hour of the program. Apparently, Nitwit Nero is now without a personal assistant. Did you catch this one?
Yeah, I heard about this.
This is beautiful.
This broke this morning.
Yeah, this is beautiful. Madeline Westerhout, got canned yesterday. Because apparently she knocked back a couple of old Panther piss and sodas on the rocks, and it oiled up her tongue, and so she proceeded to tell some people, and by people I mean reporters, that Donald Trump couldn't pick his own daughter Tiffany out of a crowd, and that he didn't like being photographed with her because he thinks she's a fatty.
Oh.
A source for Politico said, she had a couple of drinks, and in an uncharacteristically unguarded moment, she opened up to the reporters.
So Tiffany's no Ivanka, then?
No. And then she went on to brag that she was closer to Trump than either Ivanka or Tiffany. And
would you brag about being close to Trump?
And let's do remember, please, that Tiffany loses all of her money from Trump if she ever joins the military.
What?
Yep. The divorce agreement with what, Marla? Her mama? Said that she loses all of her financial support from Nitwit Nero if she ever joins the military.
Why would he put in a clause like that? Just because he despises the military, really?
I don't know. I mean, I guess. And while we're at it, can we take a moment for a little bit of disdain for General James Mattis?
Yeah, grifter.
Well, no, I don't think he's a grifter, but I think all that, you know, duty, honor, country stuff has been proved to be a bunch of bullshit in his case. Because he can't speak out against Donald Trump because the president has a right to my silence. Buddy, if you love your country and the country's in trouble and it's in trouble because of Donald Trump and you say nothing, you have no honor. And you have failed in your duty to your country.
That's a violation of his oath he took when he raised his hand and joined the Marines. He's not defending the Constitution by exercising his First Amendment right to speak out.
Yeah, from all enemies, foreign and domestic, including the necrotic Nectarine.
Well, in Trump's case, on both counts, he's both foreign and domestic because he's Vladimir's pet.
Yes.
You know.
But all right, so now, I'm trying to get this straight, Bob. So he says he's going to hold his tongue, but then he's releasing this book. So what's in the book? Is there a bunch of old
war horse stories.
Oh, nothing against Trump in the book.
They published an excerpt of it earlier this week in the Wall Street Journal. And if you're willing to read tea leaves and read between the lines and speculate and insert some things here and there, yeah, he's criticizing Trump. But only in the most tangential and obtuse ways.
very gentle with kid gloves, huh?
Necrotic nectarine. That's a good one, Chris.
Thanks. Thanks.
You just made me spray my monitor, man.
That should be a cowbell.
Yeah, Bobby.
Right on it.
But I was listening to Washington Journal this morning, and I took one for the team, and all the Trump F's are really, really upset because they didn't go after Comey hard enough. When actually he's the one that may have cost Hillary the election when he come out in, you know, 10 weeks. What was it?
10?
No, it was 10 days.
Days.
I'm sorry, 10 days, yeah. And said, oh, she's still under investigation.
We got more emails.
We got more emails. They got off of Michael Wiener's computer. Yeah. What's his name?
Anthony Wiener, yeah.
Anthony Wiener. We got investigated his email. You can't make this shit up. If you were to write a novel, you couldn't do it this good. Anthony Wiener. But yeah, they were... I wonder if my friend Todd was listening this morning. They were just coming out of the woodwork thinking that... Oh, just...
They're going to get nuttier and nuttier. As Trump goes, they'll go too. As Trump gets more and more insane and unhinged.
Chris, they were beside themselves that they didn't throw the book at Comey, you know?
Of course. You know, he's another demon.
Rick, are you still there? You're doing billable things. He must be.
Yeah, he said he's busy. But Andrew McCabe's up next, and they're not going to find anything else on McCabe.
Well, what do you think of this? What do you think of this notion that the precious Lindsay is floating of getting Barack Obama to come and testify under oath? Really? I don't think Obama's that stupid.
For what?
For what?
All about election interference.
Oh, that he should have, that he knew way earlier about the interference, and then he went to McConnell squashed it ultimately, right?
That, yeah.
Yeah, Mitch, yeah. The only thing they could get him to, in my head, may be dereliction of duty because he didn't say anything, but
yeah.
He was afraid of, you know, tilting the election one way. He didn't want that to be perceived that, you know, I'm tilting it towards Hillary, so he just didn't say anything.
No. He wanted to say something. He and the intelligence community begged Mitch McConnell to sign on a joint statement, but McConnell was the one who refused. That's why he's Moscow Mitch.
So Lindsay is going to call in Barack to testify to that fact? I'm all for it.
When Lindsay knew himself.
Yeah, but
what was that?
Lindsay had to know himself at the time. But of course, they'll softball any questions to poor, precious Lindsay or to the dear Fuhrer McConnell.
So he has to call himself to testify.
And of course, it would just be a circus. And the Republicans would get the last word because they have the majority on the Judiciary Committee.
How much of the rest of the Horn family is terrified as I am that we're going to wind up with Trump again?
I don't see any way out of this.
I really don't.
Oh, no, I see a way out. It's just that I see... No, any of them can beat him. Any of the real candidates.
But
it's going to come down to Biden v. Trump, Bob. You know it. I know it. That's the way it's going to play out.
I'm not sold on it.
Well, I'm not. I don't want it, but I just, you know.
No, I mean, I'm not sold on the inevitability because anytime the entire universe of the multi-billionaire for-profit media get together to pitch the idea of inevitability, it's time to
be a little bit skeptical. It feels like they're whistling past a graveyard.
And I suppose we could take
Elizabeth Warren is climbing. That Monmouth poll has been roundly dismissed as an outlier, but the numbers are what the numbers are.
And Trump is being primary too, isn't he? We could take heart in that. I don't know how far that's going to go, but
yeah, deadbeat dad Joe Walsh is yeah.
And Mark Sanford too, isn't he doing it?
Yeah.
The Appalachian Trail man.
He came off the Appalachian Trail.
Doesn't that mean there are at least two deadbeat dads in the Republican race then? We got dumbass Sonny and Walsh.
Anything to cipher about.
And don't leave out the sanest one of the bunch, William Weld of Massachusetts.
Boy, I haven't seen him.
He's no longer a Republican, Bob. He's what used to be called a Republican.
He's what was called a moderate to liberal Republican. And he's a unicorn in that regard.
Liberal Republican? Jeez, not in my lifetime.
He was governor of Massachusetts. Massachusetts will not let you be a Republican governor unless you have a little bit of liberality to you.
They elected Scott Brown, though, and he was a right
wing. Yeah, but they elected Mitt Romney, too, and he promptly gave them Romney care.
Yep, which is the same as Obamacare, but nobody wants to admit that.
By the way, I've been reminded that I also did a number on dinner in the Pacific time zone. Brother Deacon Asa says, re-syphilitic tapeworm. Dude, I'm trying to eat here.
Hey, maybe you can put some tapeworms up on the grill for Labor Day, Bob.
I hear they're full of nutritional value. I've been watching a lot of Naked and Afraid.
Don't give them any ideas. Half that stuff he puts on the grill looks burnt.
Sparky still doesn't know what a Boston butt is. You'll have to forgive
him. I've got over 400 channels of shit to choose from, and Naked and Afraid's been my favorite show. So, yeah, he'll be on to something there, Bob.
Oh, and by the way, Todd wants you to know, yes, he caught Washington Journal this morning. Please ask Steve why the maggots have such difficulty with logical thought processes when it comes to Trump.
That's a question better poised to you, Brother Bob. You're a much smarter man than me.
Yeah, it's that big old amygdala. That's what it is. Big amygdala. Lizard brain.
I saw a red hat, and it was in the same, it looked very similar to a, Make America Great Again red hat, right? But it said, I bought this hat to hide my lobotomy scar.
That definitely deserves a cowbell.
Yeah. But greetings to my friend, Brother Todd, out there, and thanks for taking one for the team. We appreciate you, brother. It's tough to listen to, that Washington Journal. It is. I can't do it every morning. Sometimes I got to take a break.
Don't the maggots even call in on the Democrat line? Or the
Oh, yeah. They'll call in on independent, Democrat. They don't care. No, this is how they get by. They'll say, I used to be a Democrat.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Steve. I used to be a Democrat, but the Democratic Party left me. I didn't leave the Democratic Party, right?
That's a line right out of old 666's book.
Yep. And we've got a prediction coming in from Steve in New York. Romney is just fucking crazy enough to believe the White Horse prophecy. I'm going to predict that Romney will get in early next year. This thing about Romney is that Romney actually is rich and will be able to actually take Orange Hitler on.
I wouldn't
And
doubt
hopefully
it.
He doesn't pull any punches. He's been known to make a few speeches that were pretty critical of Trump before the election. But then he...
But he, you know what? He would be doomed by two things. Three.
He's a Mormon?
No. That's not even it.
No, they don't care about
the
that.
The binder's full of women. His 47% remark in the 2012 election.
Yeah, they would loop that.
And more than anything else, that pathetic hostage-taking photo of him having dinner with Trump.
Oh, yeah. When he went to bend the...
Oh, yeah, and yes. They were shaking hands after he insulted Trump for an hour on the TV. Remember saying, he's a charlatan, don't pick this man. I don't know if you guys remember that or not, but before Trump was even nominated, he went on CNN and saying, we can't do this.
Yes. Cruz did the same thing.
Yeah.
And look at how quickly he
took they all the flipped. Knees.
So did Marco Rubio. So did Lindsey Graham. Hey, look, they all got big contributions from the National Ruble Association. How about that, sports fans? Oh, and you know what, Steve? You may have been right. If Bedbugs and Beyond, Mar-a-Lago, gets hit by Dorian, taxpayers will wind up footing the bill.
Yep.
Because it's covered under the National Flood Insurance Program.
Right, and who backs that?
We the people.
That's it. It's fucked. Bob, I'm going to ask you to put on your Karnak the Great turban. And
yes, Sis Boomba.
Who do you think is going to be the Democratic nominee?
I'm sorry.
You'd rather not say I ever
No, it's not that. That I'd rather. I have no way of knowing.
Yep.
I have some preferences, but I promised that I would stay. I would keep my preferences
I'm not
to myself.
For a preference. I'm asking for your psychic abilities because you're generally 80% correct. I mean, it is what it is.
It depends. It depends, really, Steve, on how much Biden foot and mouth disease the country's willing to take. The Democrats in this country are willing to take. It's obvious that the for-profit media... Now, had Hillary told that story and gotten everything wrong, wrong branch of service, enlisted man, not an officer, Medal of Honor, not the Silver Star, all of that? If Hillary had gotten all of that wrong... You would be able to hear the howling of the for-profit media and read the banner headline of the New York Times from space. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
But they're soft-pedaling it with regard to Biden. And I mean, the reporting I heard this morning was just...
He's their guy. Yeah,
the reporting I heard this morning was just ridiculous. Well, it's not being treated as a gaffe. It's just being treated as Joe trying to reach out and be warm and approachable.
And forgetting all sorts of shit.
but this is an indication.
He's weeing all over himself, dude. But the, I heard he's leaking.
Yeah, the problem with this is that it is an indication that it is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And so with that, you know, you asked for just a flat-out prediction, and I'm not comfortable doing it, but I can lay out some scenarios, some what-ifs, some if-then,
right.
some if-then flowchart stuff.
This is just chewing on conversation.
If Bernie continues to decline... And Elizabeth Warren continues to rise. She may peak at the right time and beat Biden in Iowa. Massachusetts and Vermont both border New Hampshire, which apparently Biden thinks is Vermont. And in that case... She's got a 50-50 chance of taking New Hampshire.
Nevada, South Carolina. Supposedly Biden's strong in South Carolina because he has the Democratic base, which is defined as elderly African-American voters in South Carolina. They say he's got that locked up. But that still puts him one for three in the first three primaries or caucuses. And then comes Nevada.
I think she can win there.
I think, of anybody but Biden, I'll say this. At this point in time, I think Elizabeth Warren has the best shot. I have overcome my misgivings, and I would not be bothered in the least if she was the nominee.
Not at all. Not at all. Is she a school teacher?
Yeah, among other things. Yeah. But I think professor. I think she has proven. She originally went to college wanting to be a school teacher. Yeah.
Meaning she can break things down and simplify it to where the masses can understand it. She has that on her side.
And
I heard at a town hall, and she did just that.
Yeah, well, I saw her in Philly at Netroots Nation. And she was absolutely masterful in her control of the room. Some immigration activists got up and unfurled a banner and tried to scream at her. She didn't lose her temper. She didn't scold them. She said, "I want to talk to you about your issue. But I can't do it while you're yelling. So let's talk about solutions," and completely diffused the situation, and they marched their banner out of the room and they were gone, and it was pretty clear who had had the upper hand in that exchange. I have no doubt that she would be able to handle Trump in a one-on-one in, say, a debate situation. But that's not necessarily dispositive, because Hillary beat the pants off of him in three debates.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, but those debates were more. It wasn't so much she was debating Donald Trump as she was debating a whole lot of America's opinion of her, and she was never able to rise above that.
I'm not Putin's puppet. You are. I know you are.
No puppet. No puppet. Yeah. You're the puppet. I mean, you know, fuck, he's a toddler.
Juvenile.
So, I mean, I'm comfortable there.
Can I go back to what Steve
but they're
going to,
but whoever, you know, whoever the nominee is going to get sleezed right out of the... it's going to be... I keep telling people, you know, toughen up, get ready for this. It's going to be ugly, because this is going to be just plain nasty, this campaign. Start to finish, and everything in between.
Honest to God, I'm fearful of violence.
I am a little bit of that as well. Yeah.
And Chris, did you want to direct something towards?
Well,
me?
I just wanted to say about what Steve was saying about, you know, writing's on the wall that Trump is going to get reelected, and the reason I think my main fear is just all the shenanigans that are going to go on with voting, right? Whether it's the video game machines, or gerrymandering, or voter suppression, what was done in Georgia, that's a blueprint, right? They're going to take that blueprint, and they're going to march all over the place with what they did in Georgia to suppress that vote. And
it's hard to concentrate on Trump's gas. He's got over 10,000. I mean,
No, those aren't gaffes. Those are lies.
Right. Well, that's what I meant. I was trying to be polite. But how can most Americans concentrate on 10,000? And every day it's something new. I wake up every morning. I was like, oh, what the hell did he say? And he never fails to disappoint. He's always something stupid.
Well, didn't he admit that he lied about the Chinese call? And he said he did that just to stabilize the markets. Is that what he said? Do you know what I'm talking about, guys?
Yeah.
He just plain out said, yeah, I lied about the call because I needed to push the stock market. We were hoping that the stock market would go up because of that. So you're saying that you're going to – his whatever comes out of his mouth is going to buoy up or down the stock market? That's petrifying.
Well, he has the unique ability to change the narrative. And he does it daily.
Well, I hope that the rest of the country has had enough. I'm banking on that. I'm hoping they want this motherfucker gone. I'm sick and tired of seeing his flabby fucking face every day. And bye-bye. And
go back to The Apprentice or something where we can tune in when you want to. Not, you know, not something forced on you. It's going to affect your everyday life, you know.
Go back to Trump Tower on Obama Street.
It's a hell of a mess right now.
But the tactic I'm most afraid of is one that the maggots used here in Indiana. They spray painted swastikas all over a Trump headquarters and destroyed signs, and Hillary Clinton's campaign paid to replace the signs. That happened here in Indiana.
Well, it's along those lines, Dave. There is this story. I don't. Did you see the video? Did you see the Trump Pence video that got rolled out? Anybody?
No. Mercifully, no.
I tried
to what, Bob?
Well, I mean, it's a.
I heard about it.
You know, job creation, stock market, blah blah
blah blah blah.
But yeah. What matters is the end. At the end, there's a logo of a blue circle with white stars in it, and a stylized depiction of a lion. Okay? And it says,
I saw that.
And it says Trump Pence. Well, here's the thing. That lion is the same logo used by V-Dare. V-Dare is the bunch that got busted in that story about how the Justice Department had sent racist materials out to immigration court employees from the judges on down.
So these guys are the modern-day American Bund.
Yeah, yeah. V-Dare, it was founded by a white supremacist. They push that bullshit white genocide notion.
What, the idea that
the South African white genocide?
Oh. You mean the idea that multiracial marriages are diluting the gene pool or some kind of horseshit?
Or we're
like
just
that?
Getting so many of them in here, they're going to outnumber the good white people.
Which tells me I'm not a good white people since my ex-wife was black.
Well, hey, that's
nice.
Yeah. You're a miscegenator.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, Sparky.
You remember me and Tracy talking about the TV show Yellowstone?
Yeah.
You know how I said they had coal barons in it?
Yeah.
Well, guess what they introduced last the final episode of the season?
I don't know, because Tracy mentioned it the other night. I think you were out of the room. But she said, "Who?" She said, "I was hoping Sparky was going to be here, because that was a humdinger."
White supremacist.
Of course.
So, it was really a good episode. I'm just thinking next season, what are the white supremacists going to do to this ranch?
Oh, man.
But, Dave, to go to your point, I mean, can you see at the polling places when polling places start opening up for early voting, you're going to have Proud Boys or these fucking Veeders and all these maggots, you know, posted at the polling stations, you know, menacing and intimidating, right?
Well, Christine and I both vote at the same time, usually going to City Hall to do the early voting, because that's closest to where I live. And I would love to see them try it. Christine is a former soldier whose hobbies used to be mixed martial arts and stuff like that. Let them try to pick on her. I would love to see her whoop their asses.
Dave just used the word whoop.
Well,
and did it in the correct fashion. Yes. Hey, Steve, you've got
a
question.
I see it too.
Steve, you've got a question from Todd. Did Steve hear Greta try to explain to a maggot caller why the MILF was being investigated in a very delicate way, so she would not appear biased?
I must have had to let Cletus out, because I don't recall that, you know. Maybe I can circle back to Todd, and he can, or I can just replay it if he'll give me a time frame, or I'll just listen to the whole, I don't want to listen to the whole thing, but for the first hour.
Well, it's entirely up to you.
Huh. So what do you guys think about the debate, the next debate, and the format, and the fact they're going to have all 10 up there?
Well, Chris, I'm very happy that it's just shrunk down to one. I mean, it's just two-night debate.
I hope they put Biden right in the middle with Bernie and Elizabeth Warren. Right.
Well, they've announced the lineup. And I mean, they've announced the order on stage.
So Marianne didn't make it, right? She's not in.
No,
it?
Neither did Tulsi.
Nope.
Tulsi didn't make it.
Neither did the hedge fund dude, the rich guy. He didn't make it either.
Well, that's good.
Tom Steyer.
Yeah.
Which I would
take him over Trump any day of the week, you know.
There was another billionaire that didn't make it.
The Starbucks dude, right?
No, the guy who was putting forward like a $1,500 a month minimum.
Yang?
No, Yang, he made it. He made it.
He's going to give us all $1,000.
I'd rather see Tom Steyer take the money he's spending on this campaign and pay off all the debts in Florida and let those 60,000 or so people in Florida vote.
Good point, bro. Or just pump it back into the Democratic Party.
Run his own ads against people.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Sparky, here's the order. Left to right, Amy Klobuchar, who needs to drop out, Cory Booker, Pete Buttigieg, you know, Cory should probably go too, Bernie, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Andrew Yang, Beto O'Rourke. And then
from left to right, Bob?
Left to right, and Julian Castro on the far right.
Oh, goody. They put the two Texans right next to each other.
Oh, that's true,
that'll
too,
be
yeah.
The only time Castro gets called on the far right.
Beto probably, you know, Beto needs to drop out. So does Julian Castro. Andrew Yang and going to higher ground needs to go. Andrew needs to go to higher ground.
Beto needs to concentrate on the Senate race.
No, I think that's real.
No, he's not going to concentrate on the Senate race. He's going to keep going around the country talking to people as long as he's got money.
Okay.
That's
well.
Good.
I mean, yeah, no, that fine. Steve, he would be, Steve, he'd be slipping the shiv between the ribs of a good Democratic candidate who's already announced against Cornhole.
Yeah.
MJ Hager. She's good.
I heard some talk that they were going to consider running him for governor of Texas.
I like that
I
idea.
Think that would be a wise choice on his part.
Remember I told you about my friend Jerry? Evidently, he worked in the Texas State House for a while and during Ann Richards' administration. And she had a political skill in Texas that is required. He said that she could tell a dirty joke better than any man alive. And in Texas, that's a required political skill. I used to live there.
Well, she was one for the ages, you know.
If she were alive today, I'd vote for her for president.
Absolutely.
Well, we could take heart in this. Johnny Isaacson, he's quitting.
And he's citing...
his Parkinson's, yeah.
Yep. So maybe if we could get some receipts down here that House really count the vote.
Yeah, who was that today, Sparky?
Shimkus. Shimkus. Oh, Shimkus, yeah.
Rumor has it Al Franken may try to jump in this thing some way, somehow, again.
I'd love to see that.
Yep.
Boy, that would be a phoenix rising from the ashes.
No, Mitch McConnell would sit there and go, no, we're not going to seat him because of morality issues.
Right, because he mocked milk lemonade on somebody wearing a flap jacket, for God's sakes. Jesus.
Who knows? Maybe Milt won't even be there. Do you see that pathetic turnout for Don Jr. and the governor?
Oh, that was hilarious.
I heard about that, Sparky. Yeah,
that was the one where... I mentioned that last night. That was the one where Don Jr., you know, Beavis, declared that he understands working people because he went to boarding school in Pottstown, PA.
Yeah, real
not
man of
kidding.
The people.
What's in Pottstown, PA?
Whatever boarding school he went to.
Oh, and that's it?
Yeah, but, well, you know, it's Rust Belt.
Oh.
So that's how he understands what it means to work for a living.
Well, that's how I understand how to be in the top 1%, because I used to work for Louisiana Pacific, which is owned by the Koch brothers.
Well, there you go.
Well, I'm hopeful that maybe Stacey Abrams will try to grab Isaacson's seat.
Nope, she's already said that she's not interested.
No, really?
Yeah.
She's focused on her effort now, which is very, very important. It's combating all the voter suppression. That's her
and fraud, goal. Too. I mean, we've got outright fraud going on in this state.
Oh, Steve, that segment that Todd mentioned is in the first 15 minutes this morning.
Well, Todd, I will check that out, brother. I'll circle back to you.
Is it just me, guys, or does it seem like Kamala's been pretty quiet of late? She hasn't been very prominent in the media. Maybe the last.
Well, she's not.
Weeks,
she's
right?
not. She's not making up any ground or any. You know.
She's too busy having a love affair with her bus.
With her bus?
Yeah, she's got a brand new bus. She's traveling around in.
Oh, Kamala is? I know. Yeah. Gillibrand was doing a bus tour. I didn't know Kamala was too.
Those buses aren't.
It's probably the same bus with a new skin on it.
Got the thing on the side of it and everything.
But didn't Gillibrand finally sit down?
Yeah, she did. Yeah. And you know the way I look at it, as fucked up as that situation was, and it was, ultimately the person who ran Al Franken out of the Senate was Al Franken. He was presented with a Kobayashi Maru, and he was unable to Jim Kirk it. But so you know, I don't. That's not.
Whoa! Kobayashi Maru, explain that to us simple-minded folk, Bob. I don't understand.
Are you not a Star Trek guy?
That's a no-win situation. Okay.
It's a no-win situation.
All right.
It's the simulation that you can't win.
It's a catch-22, then.
It's a no-win simulation that Starfleet Academy cadets go through to test their leadership abilities, and the only person ever to win in the Kobayashi Maru simulation was Jim Kirk because he cheated.
And that simulation ends up in the destruction of the ship.
Yeah. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't find a way out of it, and he resigned. But the part that I couldn't get over with Kirsten Gillibrand was the idea that she was running around talking about how she was going to focus on women's issues when she, for years, kept not one, but plural, loaded rifles under her bed because she was going to defend her home. Now, she did, and as I explained before, she did that when she was representing a deeply hillbilly district in upstate New York. And she needed that NRA endorsement. And so she said what was necessary to get it. That's a person whose morals seem to me to be kind of fluid.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you remember, Bob, just put yourself back in that moment in time, and all that was when Me Too was really starting to ramp up and accelerate. And like, if when those pictures came out, I mean, it was the narrative was right there, where if you didn't jump on top of Al Franken at that time, then you were against Me Too.
Yeah.
Right.
By the way, note
That's
coming
a good
in from
point, Chris.
Note coming in from Steve in New York. Just broke. Hurricane Dorian has been upgraded to Cat 4. Steve says, Florida Horn community, please take cover and be safe. Or get the hell out. And there's really nothing more to add to that, except for the fact that in these moments, when people have to get on the move and everybody goes in the same direction at the same time, we get a little bitty a glimpse into hell of what it's going to look like when the climate crisis really gets going in earnest and Florida ceases to be habitable for human beings.
Right, when you're getting 6 or 8 of these things a month for 4 months, you know.
Or, no, just... What, you know, when the water covers South Florida and doesn't recede.
Floridians are going to move to Georgia, Steve.
Well, we got plenty of room, Duncan. I mean,
it is the largest state in terms of area east of the Mississippi. You can win money in bars on that.
Yep.
Largest state east of the Mississippi.
That's very interesting.
Most people will say New York.
Yeah, that's what I would have said.
Or Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It's not. It's Georgia.
If you go down 17 and hit, 75 to, I think it's Route 16, head towards Savannah, it's no man's land for hours. So there's plenty of real estate.
Oh, and by the way, Darlene in Connecticut says, no, Bob. Cadet Jim Kirk didn't cheat. He just changed the rules of the game.
And he got a commendation for it.
Yeah, they kind of had to do that or admit that, you know. Darlene, with an observation on Elizabeth Warren, says she was very conservative and anti-regulation when she was a young professor, which seems to fly in the face of her other narrative about growing up in a poor family whose father was laid up by a heart attack, forcing her mother to get a job to avoid losing their home. And her mother was able to keep the family afloat. The pay back then was enough. It seems she's been able to convincingly overcome the about-face to a pro-regulation liberal for now. If they have a two-foot-thick playbook against Bernie, then you figure the GOP has one against Warren, too. They do. They've got one for everybody. I suspect their playbook for their Oppo research book for Biden is probably 4 feet thick because he's had a longer career. The only thing that could have been thicker would maybe be Hillary's. But they're going, you know, for instance, whoever gets nominated is going to be the biggest liberal since V.I. Lenin. Joe Biden, who is as conservative can be, will be the biggest liberal since Stalin. Stalin
He's
wasn't
the
a liberal.
He's best friend.
Yeah.
Stalin was no liberal.
No, but you get the, you think Emery and Marveline know that?
No, he's just a godless commie.
Brugge, brugge.
Well, exactly, Chris. Brugge, 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 warble, whoosh.
Marveline.
My maggot grandfather in the 80s, instead of calling somebody a son of a bitch, would regularly call them a communist, whether or not they were or...
Oh, that was the same as calling him a son of a bitch, so...
Yeah.
It's anonymous, yeah.
Yeah, you... I heard one legislator in the Senate say you couldn't call a guy a son of a bitch on the floor of the Senate, but you could call him soft on communists.
Yeah, but then half the maggots don't know the difference between a socialist, a Democrat, a communist... Or a Stalinist.
Well, and Roger, they did.
Sandinista, or whatever else.
Right, and Roger, they've proven they don't know the difference between a Nazi and a socialist.
Well, they both got socialist in the name. They're the same thing.
Oh, no, they're not.
Literally, Mo Brooks, Les Brains of Alabama, was making that argument on Twitter the other day. And wouldn't back down even when he got fucking schooled by PhD professors. Knowledge means nothing to these fuckers.
Oh, come on. You know PhD only stands for piled higher and deeper. PhD doesn't know jack shit.
Yeah, he got a bunch of book learning, but a bunch of book sense, but no common sense.
Because God, and that's G-A-W-D, told Mel Brooks... Mel over his cornflakes that he was in the right.
and by the way, Bill in Allentown reminds us, Pottstown is in the Alabama part of Pennsylvania. You remember the old line, Alabama is Pittsburgh in the west, Philly in the east, and Alabama in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy here in Indianapolis that flies the swastika, the piss-colored rag, and the devil's diaper all at the same time. And I've had to walk past that house. And I would imagine at some point he's going to burn his own flags and then blame the liberals.
Well, I think what you should do is you should tie up one of those Trump balloons, the baby balloons, right next to it.
Yeah, but Joe Hogshead, the mayor here, would have a purple towel if I did that.
Okay, so on the way out the door, we got to have a kicker, like they do in the professional for-profit media. It was months, if not a year ago, and I think Tracy was the one that put us on to it. You remember that documentary about, and it was out of the, it came out of Utah in the 70s, and it was about the family that let a child molester into their lives and just sort of blithely went along while they groomed and then more or less kidnapped their daughter. Remember that?
No.
It was bizarre because what was so strange about it is how clueless the parents were.
I remember that story, Bob. There was like a documentary on Netflix about it, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And Agnes,
she was like a Mormon girl or something like that.
Yeah, they were Mormons.
Yeah.
And Agnes and I watched that, and the longer the thing went, the more we were just sitting there with our mouths hanging open catching flies. Because we couldn't believe that a set of parents would be that goddamn dim, that fucking simple.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point in time, the child molester convinces the heterosexual father to give him a blowjob.
Yeah. Medical treatment, Bob. Right?
Well, it turns out people in a lot of those folks in Utah are apparently that simple.
Jeez.
A chiropractor named Brent Norda in southern Utah is facing 20 counts of sexual assault.
Oh, my God.
The people that worked for Brent Norda said that he would fairly often comment about the bodies of both the patients and the staff members. And patients said that during physical exams, remember, this guy's a chiropractor, that he touched their breasts and genitals in a not chiropractic way. But he said that that was typical chiropractic examination.
Sure.
One of the women who...
Have you ever heard of a boob adjustment, Bob?
Yeah, right, yeah, because those things can get out of alignment.
Manipulations for a reason.
One of the women who worked with him said he'd often put his hand down her skirt while they went over paperwork.
Well, isn't Roy Moore going to run again?
He is running. He's called for Ilhan Omar to be removed from the House of Representatives. But this is a Ronco commercial. This is a Ginsu commercial. But wait, there's more. So the whole thing fell apart. Only when a woman went to see a different chiropractor, and he didn't adjust her breasts.
Oh, jeez.
Or her vagina. And
do
she told.
Live under rocks, Bob? What's the deal here?
And she told. Simple Mormons. You know, yeah. Simon Simple and Simon
people,
Pure.
People of the earth. People of the earth. Just morons.
You know, morons.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason they call it a boner.
Yeah. That's right. There you go.
Yeah, here we go.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Yeah, exactly. So, she said she had no idea that what the first chiropractor, Brent Norda, was allegedly doing to her was wrong. Yeah. She told police she didn't know if Brent was doing right or wrong. It made her feel uncomfortable, but he was a doctor, and she was supposed to be able to trust him. Now, let's take a moment and realize that Utah is one of those places where they don't teach sex education. They teach abstinence only. So, there were 20 simpletons who were diddled by their chiropractor and never suspected anything amiss. And the cops actually think that there are more than 20 victims. And the women in particular said, well, praise Maroney, I had no idea what he was doing was wrong.
Oh. It makes you wonder, Bob, when they were growing up, what was going on behind closed doors.
Makes you wonder what their husband brothers treat them like.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're sister wives, are their brother husbands?
Yeah.
Uncle fathers.
That stands to reason.
Yeah, uncle daddies, that's right.
God.
God, these stories, you know, that freak in Michigan, the perv doctor at The Ohio State University, Michigan State, but then there was the perv doctor at The Ohio State University, Jim Shorts Jordan looked the other way on.
Right.
And those young student athletes knew what was going on was wrong, but they were afraid to speak out. In this case, though, you got full-grown adults who don't know that chiropractors aren't supposed to diddle their patients.
Yeah, there's no bones and boobs.
No, no. I got a feeling no. Well, that's it. Go ahead.
How does Jim Jordan get away with all this shit? I mean, he basically did exactly what Joe Pa did, didn't he?
More or less, yeah.
How does he get away with this?
Well, he was just the assistant wrestling coach.
Unbelievable.
Well, Duncan, Mr. Bob, I appreciate you guys putting this on tonight. It was a really good time, man.
What do you mean my Skype wasn't working?
Well, you did something. I mean, everything's smoothed out towards the end.
I just come up with the Skype link every week.
Well, thank you for your effort, bro. It's appreciated. You too, Brother Bob.
Well, Sparky's is a decade-plus-long... Okay, who's doing that?
Yeah. I don't know, not me.
I don't know where that's coming from.
Somebody just joined.
Joey Bay.
Maybe Joe.
Okay. Yeah, Joey does.
I think Joe's talking to his giraffe, Jeffrey. Hey, Joe, stop talking to Jeffrey.
Well, anyway you do it, under whatever circumstances, we got to get out of here. So, yeah, what Steve said. Thanks, Sparky. And thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air with your kind contributions. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Sparky. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years. We're marking 20 years this year at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.